Now, Inland Fisheries recently completed a €3 million grant allocation to angling initiatives countrywide. Suzanne Campion is Business Development Manager with IFI. She told me where the money had gone.
We had a lot of money to spend in 2017. We had €2.2 million, I suppose, at the end of the day, which we awarded to 115 different projects in 23 counties. So, yeah, €2.2 million in the fishery sector is quite a lot of money.
So we're talking really about inland fishing places for the most part?
Yeah, well, I suppose inland and on the periphery. As you know, angling is ubiquitous throughout the country. Every small village and town has a river or a stream, or in some parts of the country a lake, and we're surrounded by coastline. So luckily enough, we have a lot of interest in angling throughout.
When you look at the money you've given out here, every county in the country is represented as far as I can see, and just pick out things like in Cork, Bandon Angling, River Blackwater, in Donegal, Buncrana, a whole variety of different type of places.
Yeah, definitely, and a whole variety of different types of projects. So for the most part, I suppose we had 42% of projects were kind of habitat conservation related, and this builds on our conservation, our Salmon Conservation Fund and the Midlands Fisheries Fund that have been running up to now. And then on top of that, we had, say, about 200,000 in youth projects, and the rest of it, which is, say, about another 900,000, 48% in angling access projects. So I suppose it depended where you were and the type of project you were applying for. But if you were under a salmon conservation project, it would definitely be all conservation and habitats work. Whereas under the NSAD and the Midlands Fisheries Fund, you could have a mix of a project. You could have angling and habitats. I suppose the main thing that IFI is trying to do is that any developments or any works undertaken would be in line with any permissions, conservation, would be habitat and fish friendly.
To go back on the basics of this, they are clubs or interested groups which apply for grants.
Yes, we have had applications from a lot of clubs, a lot of groups that are trying to develop youth angling, a lot of county councils and, say community development groups that they wouldn't be necessarily angling groups, but they recognise the value of angling as being worth €836 million, and primarily in the rural community. So if a rural community is doing, say, a Tidy Towns competition, they can get angling into their village or town. It can, you know, tick a few boxes. They can have a beautiful angling facility and it adds to their whole town and it brings people that stay longer when they come to fish.
Now, if you talk about the conservation issues which you mentioned, what typically, or can you give me an example of one of the places where you might have given money for conservation, and what kind of work was carried out?
Yeah, the project on the Bunowen River is the installation of a rock ramp on the river Bunowen at Ahaskra, and this would be to allow free passage and movement of fish up and down the river. As you know, probably there are an awful lot of barriers around the country and these prevent free passage of salmonid species, but also lampreys have to be able to pass them now. So,
which are these very kind of prehistoric fish?
Yeah, prehistoric eel, lamprey eels. This rock ramp should allow free movement of fish up and down that catchment. So it really adds to the potential for angling above it while making the habitat better.
Now, and yet then you talked about access to various places. You have things about disabled fisheries. If you look, for example, at Arklow, it's just ladders to get you up and down to boats. Many of the removal or the planting of trees to give shelter to anglers in other places, a whole variety of things.
Stand-style structures are kind of what comes into people's minds when we're talking about projects, and a lot of those were applied for. And they do actually provide access, stand-styles and structures, for people less abled, and as well as that, to youth, because I suppose we're very conscious of the fact that there aren't a whole pile of youth taking up angling. We want to make it as easy as possible. So the access thing about having a car park nearby so you can get your gear, those kind of projects have been funded. But there's one really interesting one, which is a pop-up fishery, which is one that IFI has applied for itself, and we're hoping to bring that around the country so that we can just do a pop-up fishery, put in some fish and let kids try fishing.
Explain that one to me.
So you've heard of pop-up shops. They can just take over a little shop for a little while. So we're around the country, and even in Dublin as well, we have the Dublin Angling Initiative, which is really progressive and getting lots of young people in Dublin fishing. The canals in Dublin, the rivers in Dublin, the lakes in the vicinity, you know, give lots of access for angling. And I suppose what we want to do is make it easy to catch fish, because if you hook a fish, you're hooked yourself. So by bringing this pop-up fishery to different schools that we're doing something fishy in, that maybe to a transition year group, to some mental health groups, so we can bring this anywhere. It's transferable, mobile, and we can put fish into it and people can catch them. So we should get a lot more people hooked on fishing.
Tell me about the Dublin Angling Initiative. It's been going for quite some years.
It has indeed, and it's run by a very dedicated group of IFI staff and volunteers, and I suppose that's the beauty of it, that the volunteers have no end to their time and their, I suppose, passion for fishing. Originally we had Des Chu, and now we have Oisin Cahill, and Josie Mahon runs the programme, and they bring kids from various backgrounds around to different areas for fishing. So it could be out to the Wicklow Mountains, it could be on a canal, it could be at the sea. And they get a lot of help and support from various organisations around the city. And they do a fantastic job.
A lot of it is geared towards disadvantaged schools.
Towards disadvantaged children. There are some presentations available that you can see from DAI where the enthusiasm, the excitement of catching a fish, then following on from that, the interest in protecting the habitat and protecting the fish stocks, that's learned because people are now interested in actually catching fish. So it's a win-win situation.
Because anglers will say to you around the country that if the local fishing club, if anglers weren't interested in a particular river, it's just really not going to succeed, going to keep producing fish. It's going to fall down the ladder on the environment.
Anglers consider themselves the eyes and ears of the river, and so do we. We have a hotline that anglers or the general public can ring to give us details of any habitat issues, poaching issues, pollution issues, and we love to get information in that we can act on. But that being said, there is probably a river and stream in every small town in Ireland, and if people look after them, they can actually draw in lots of tourism once they have fish and the fish can be caught. But I suppose the key thing at this stage is to be catch and release aware. So we did a program earlier on this year called Catch Photo Release, where we put we sandblasted or power hosed on an icon of a fish with CPR saves fish, and we would love if everybody who was catching fish in Ireland would catch and release their fish so that it would preserve stocks, and we have studies that say that it actually works, so we're happy to promote it.
Recently the regulations around fishing for sea bass were changed. That is now catch and release. What's the change there?
Previously you could keep one fish a day for half of the year, and for the other half of the year it was catch and release. Now it's catch and release for the whole year. It's an EU regulation. So in order now for Inland Fisheries Ireland to be able to enforce that, we're awaiting a little piece of Irish legislation to bring the EU legislation into law. But, you know, we have for a long time been promoting catch and release of bass, and bass anglers are actually really, really good. A very high proportion of them release all fish.
Why is that change? Is it a protected species for many years? Commercial fishing for them is banned. Why this change now?
Well, Ireland has always been very proactive in its management of sea bass, and together with the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority, Inland Fisheries Ireland has been given powers to protect it. However, in European context, bass stocks are declining. I think there's a lot of disappointment around the country in general that there's a commercial fishery remaining in the UK, but I think we're getting a lot of compliance within Ireland, and people understand the importance of maintaining bass because they're a very slow growing fish, and if you wipe out a year group or a number of year groups, then you're going to be left with no bass.
You mentioned how much in each town and village around the country, how the stream or the river is important for angling. How big is angling for the tourist industry in this country?
We estimate that angling is worth 836 million per annum, and this is generally in the rural and peripheral areas of the country because that's where most of the angling takes place. It supports approximately 11,350 jobs, to be very precise. But I suppose those aren't jobs. Like, you're not going to see somebody going around with a fishing rod that has the job. It could be a ghillie or a guide, but it could be an accommodation provider. It could be the guy working in the local petrol station, because figures have shown that when anglers come to a place, they will stay longer than a normal tourist. they spend more because they're obviously they're staying more, and they're very, very loyal. We have people coming back, say, for 14 to 24 years to the same place every year. So we're very keen on marketing to, I suppose, those people, and also to new people to come in, because we're conscious of Brexit as well, that the UK market may be impacted. We want people from, say, we go to the following markets. We go to France, Germany, Belgium, Holland, and the USA directly, and as well as the UK. But we really need to, I suppose, make sure that the offering in the various locations is, I suppose, up to standard, that people want to come, that they get a good quality product, that they get good service from the fisheries providers, and that they return again, and that it's all word of mouth.
You've just given out all of these grants which we've been speaking about. If a group or an organisation, a club, wants to apply for one of these, now I understand that the criteria are quite exacting to get any of the money.
Well, the criteria, I suppose the project has to be to promote tourism, to get more anglers fishing. However, it's the compliance to the different laws that are very exacting. We're a state agency and we give out state money, so the state and all our taxpayers want value for money. So again, there's three quotes for everything, or e-tenders if it's a big enough project. There's planning permissions, there's permissions from National Parks and Wildlife, it could be from fishery owners, and all of those boxes have to be ticked. So it can be a long and drawn out process, from kind of having an idea for a lovely project to actually finishing and getting it done on the ground.
How does one go about applying for one of these grants?
There's no more money right now, but we're hoping to open an expression of interest later on in the year when we see what money we have. We were bowled over by the amount and the enthusiasm for this funding call, and we had, I think it was 140 applications totaling about 3 million, and all of them needed contribution from the applicant. So, you know, it just goes to show the appetite for angling projects around the country.
Suzanne Campion of Inland Fisheries.